Leah McFly, Montreal's dancer. You're tuning in with The Morning Detour with Weezy and Soul K. Okay, KK.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
The world is filled with way too many bright people for us to still have the problems that we have in the world. It's going to be our shame, you know what I mean? That we don't sit together and create people who invest with thought and consideration and care to solve the world's problems. If we can do all these things that we do digitally, technologically, economically, we can feed people, we can educate people through poverty. We can solve the problems of poverty. Poverty isn't even something that should exist in this world at this point, because we have wealth, we have intellect, we have the ability to develop and design and create whatever we want to. The question is do we want to? That's what we have to ask ourselves. You know, I've been away from a lot of things, you know, for a while now, and incubating, you know, ideas and doing what I needed to do to deal with the resistance that comes with making change in the world.
Yeah, I got dreams to buy expensive things, and I know that he's out there, so as my I go to work at a job I don't care nothing about. My rent is due later, only God have to pay up. I never can save up, think I've run out of favors. I'ma go to Atlanta, I'ma find me a rapper. You gon' buy me a movie, maybe star in a movie. I'ma keep up my business, I'ma start me a business, and I'll never be broke again, struggling. God is my way. We heard about a new club where all the ballers party. I'm hoping these titties can get me out the city. I know I'm too pretty to not do nothing with it. So I'ma go to Atlanta, I'ma find me a rapper. You gon' buy me a booty, make a star in a movie. I'ma keep up my business, I'ma start me a business, and I'll never be broke again, struggling. God is my way. Money in his bag, bag. I deserve that life. Be a damn good housewife. Two kids from a surrogate. Found my mama, stay fit, get a facelift. Soccer mom didn't waste it. Hermes and his bracelets. Fall ball for vacation. I'll be anything but basic.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, good morning, Montreal. It's another, I was going to say beautiful Friday, but it's another snowy Friday Get your thermal, get your hoodie, get your hot chocolate, get your coffee. The Morning Detour is here on the mighty CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm joined by my co-host. She's the most mysterious woman in the country. She might be a secret agent. We got the beautiful Soke. How are you doing this morning, Queen?
Good morning, Weezy. Good morning, Montreal. Weezy, welcome back.
Yes, yes. It feels good to be back. You know, I keep seeing all these gray hairs on my face, on my beard, and on my hair. I'm like, boy, I'm aging fast. It might be that dimension shift everybody's talking about. But for those of you that don't know, my name is Weezy Moonchaser. I'm the Montreal Kobe Bryant. They know that I'm nice. They hate that it's me. And, well, this is the number one morning show in the city. There's a lot of drama to go through. Some of the top stories we'll be covering this morning on the Morning Detour. Ottawa tells hundreds of applicants they're not black enough for money from the Black Community Initiative. Boy, K, you know we're in an election year, right? November's election. We're going to make them work for the votes, but we're going to get into that a little later on. Valerie Plante, our mayor, reveals the new commissioner tasked to craft the comprehensive anti-racism plan. There's been some pushback from a couple different black groups saying that she's not really black, but we'll talk about that a little bit later, K. Kay, what is a non-essential flight? Canadians are seeking a sunny escape. Over 1,500 flights, and it's rising. Do we need a travel ban as the pandemic worsens in our country? Also, we'll also talk about the most popular pandemic destination. Kay, would you like to throw a guess out there? What might be the most popular pandemic destination?
I mean, Jamaica, Mexico. It has to be something somewhere sunny, you know, somewhere warm and tropical. You know?
Also, this week, kids went back to schools, and teachers at Montreal Area High School are wearing black to mourn the inevitable deaths caused by back to school. So we'll talk about the whole fact. Should kids have gone back to school? You know, the head of the education, he's saying, you know, kids are not learning as well at home. But I'm of the belief that part of the reason why the numbers are spiking so much in Montreal is due to the fact that kids are back to school and it's causing to the spread. But we'll discuss that. And of course, oh boy, we are January 22nd. So you know what that means? Kamala Harris is officially vice president and taking a piece of Montreal with her. So we'll discuss that as well. Celebrate that. On Monday was MLK Day. Shout out to Martin Luther King, RIP, the king of social activism and injustice for black people. So that was his day on Monday. And Kay, you know, we're going to talk about Valerie Plante's Twitter video. I ain't going to hold you. We got to touch on that a little bit. We have an amazing guest on the show, a professional, Dr. Upton Allen. He's the professor of pediatrics at the University of Toronto. He's also the chief of the Division of Infectious Disease at the Hospital for Sick Children. We spoke about vaccines. He explained to us in layman's term for the general public, what is COVID-19? How is this working with your body? Because we're really trying to give people a broad picture of what we're really working with in terms of this pandemic. So great interview with him. We also talked about antibody testing and social demographic data and how all these kind of things kind of play into really helping the black community be safe throughout this pandemic. So Dr. Allen will be coming up later on in the show. And of course, Kay, jam of the week. We got Homie Sales from HLR. He gave us the wintertime freestyle. So we're going to play that a little later on in the show. And boy, 2 weeks. I like to say, Kay, man, shout out to you. Thank you for holding it down for the last 2 weeks like a true professional that you are. How was it, man? The boy, you had the Capitol. You had Trump leaving. You had some good stuff.
It was very fun, to be honest, to have, well, Brian and, you know, Tracy as co-hosts. Sure. They're great. They did a great job. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Brian and Tracy. You know, a lot of things happened. I feel like you left and then all hell broke loose.
It was just
a whole thing.
They didn't want to hear me, Kay. They didn't want to hear me talk. They didn't want me go on it. They didn't want to hear me at all. But yeah, the last 2 weeks have been very crazy, and I know I wasn't here for the beginning of the curfew. We are going to talk about the curfew and some of the fines that have been given out as well. Obviously going to talk about the red coat incident. There's a lot of things going on in the sea. Once again, I got to let people know, it's an election year. It's an election year. Things are coming up. Black History Month's coming up in a couple weeks, well, actually in about 10, 11 days. Next week, we're going to do a special for Kobe Bryant, his anniversary of his passing on January 26th as well. So we'll do a Kobe special. You guys know how I feel about the brother already. And boy, K, 2 weeks, we back. The More Detour, it's like I'm trying to get my legs back again. We have a beautiful campaign going on right now, too. January and February, a lot of people will be either looking for a new career or either trying to refurbish their current CV. Got the Job CA is a beautiful platform for you to go and The girl is very well. She's a great at what she does in terms of refurbishing your CV, helping you, giving you tips for your interviews. And she'll even go for artists out there. She'll even do your digital press kit as well. And if you use the promo code DETOUR5, is that correct, Kate?
Yeah, that's DETOUR5, but not five. Don't spell five. It's just the
number five.
Number five, yeah.
So if you use the promo code DETOUR5, you get a 5% discount. So that's gotthejob.ca. For all those that's looking to start a new career or trying to refurbish their currently existing CV, gotthejob.ca is the place to be. So, okay, you know, let you know, let's play a little music. Let's play music. And when we come back, we'll get into some news.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I've been curious, curious
about you, baby.
Furious, furious,
drive me crazy.
Curious,
where have you been all my life?
Curious, so curious.
You just my type, definitely in my mind. Pass me by again, and you looking right. Be thinking the same thing, so why you acting shy?
Come up and say hi, hi, hi. I don't, not on the side, side, side. Say you down and we can slide, slide, slide. Doesn't matter where we find.
If you look bad, won't you come my way? So far, that I wanna taste you. Don't even know your name. The vibe is insane. Calling me on my way. I'm a test, but no strain. If you want me, I'm here to stay. Kiss me, little baby. Won't you come my way? So fine that I wanna text you. Don't even know your name. The vibe is insane. Calling me on my way. I'm a test, but no strain. If you want me, I'm here to stay.
Eyes on my body, love. Going crazy now. I watch you eat it up like a honey bun, baby. Fill this cup up and watch that bubble now. It go up and down.
Just come up and say hi, hi, hi. I not on the side, side, side. Say you down and we can slide, slide, slide. Doesn't matter where we vibe.
Damn, it feels nice. So I give you my night. Can't do no wrong, cause everything is right. You just give me the look and I'm ready to go, yeah. I just give you the word and you give me the show, yeah. Drinking a cup and the vibe in the room, we feel it. And I know it's not that hard to make a decision. And you know if you let me hit it, it's with precision. Don't have to talk a lot to know it's my
business. Might not mean much. At the tip of your strut and your walk, you was bad for you, cleaned up. Brown skin, brown eyes, so fine, but damn if I leave here. Without you, man, make you my boo. The things you like to, push it the vibe to, it's just delightful, we dance the mic. I've been curious, curious
about you, baby.
Furious, furious,
drive me crazy.
Curious,
where have you been all my life?
Curious, so curious. Kiss me, little baby. Won't you come my way? So far, that I wanna text you. Don't even know your name. The vibe is insane. Calling me on my way. I'm a test and no strain. If you want me, I'm here to stay. Kiss me, little baby. Won't you come my way? So far, that I wanna text you. Don't even know your name. The vibe is insane. Calling me on my way. I'm a test and no strain. If you want me, I'm here to stay.
Just come up and say hi, hi, hi. I not on the side, side, side. Say you down and we can slide, slide, slide. Doesn't matter where we vibe.
Curious, 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 curious.
Where have you been all my life? Curious.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, welcome back, Montreal, my city. It's the Morning Detour, Weezy and Kate. It's about that time for us to do that local, international news. There's a lot of different things going on. Let's start off with the dismay. First and foremost, Montreal, we have to make them work for our votes. we are in an election year, okay? In November, we're going to have to vote. So you're going to see a lot of people try to get your vote, okay? Let me start off with the dismay. So there was a rejection letter from the ESDC sent to black organizations, completely unacceptable. This is brought to you by CTV. So several black organizations were denied federal funding through a program designed to help such groups build capacity after Employment and Social Development Canada told them their leadership was not sufficiently black, Kate. So Velma Morgan, the chair of Operation Black Vote, said her group received an email from the department on Tuesday saying their application did not show the organization is led and governed by people who self-identify as black. This is Operation Black Vote. this is the federal government saying that you are not black enough for this black funding. Then the department case sent a second email the next day saying their application was not approved because it did not receive the information required to move forward, she said. Oh, boy. So Miss Morgan from Operation Black Vote, a not-for-profit multi-partisan organization that aims to get more black people elected at all levels of government, which we all need, which basically we need better representation, right? That's part of the systemic racism that we're trying to fight, right? Is one of at least five black organizations that were not approved for the funding. That's pretty wild. Operation Black Vote doesn't deserve the funding. Operation Black Vote's not black enough? So... she goes on to state, I quote her, if you're from the black community, you know that they're black run and black focused, she said. So obviously you're starting to see that the federal government is not really doing their homework, right, Kate? It's just like they're just seeing names and they're not doing their homework. So here we go. So the social development minister, Ahmed Hussein, who is a visible minority himself, said the initial letter his department sent to unsuccessful applicants was completely unacceptable and that he demanded a retraction as soon as he saw it. So, Kate, let me pause there. How do you feel about this? Is as if there's this federal money for black organizations to help them sustain and fix up their buildings, whatever the case may be, infrastructure, their capacity, whatever the case may be. And now real black organizations apply for this, and they're being denied and being told, you're not black enough. Your organization is not black run.
So I always find it funny when non-black people try to define what is black enough or what is black for black people.
This is why you're a super host.
That would be my first comment. But then I would say that they definitely, you know, need to challenge that in the sense that, first of all, how do you prove that all your board members or governing body of your organizations are black? Do you send pictures of everyone? Do you send an organigram, you know, like an org chart with everyone? I mean, if that's what needs to be done, then it should be done. But at the end of the day, at the federal level, there needs to be some kind of... There needs to be a better way to check. There needs to be a better work that is being done by the people that are in charge of securing such funds for these organizations, because it's not normal that funds like that were supposed to go to black organizations and some of them are not receiving these funds based on your organization is not black enough when they are black. There's definitely an issue there.
And then you send a letter saying that it's not black enough. I want to go on to push on. Velma Morgan, the chair of the Operation Black Vote, she goes on to say that the Liberal government should hire more black people to sit at every decision-making table. And I think that's part of the problem here, too. We're not getting the proper representation at the decision level of the table, right? I had to mention this because I was so in dismay. They're not giving no love to the black women. Even the Ontario Black History Society, a registered charity dedicated to study, preservation, and promotion of black history and heritage, is one of the groups that received vote letters and had its application rejected. So the Ontario Black History Society is not black enough. What is going on in this country, people? This is crazy. I wanna quote this this study that came out. In a newly released report titled Unfunded Black Communities Overlooked by Canadian Philanthropy, researchers from the Network for the Advancement of Black Communities and Carleton University's Philanthropy and Nonprofit Leadership Program concluded that Canada's philanthropic sector has mostly failed to show up in support of African Americans. Let me hit you with some numbers, Kay. Reviewing 40 leading Canadian foundations with assets totaling nearly $16 billion. So this is the pool of money, right, from the philanthropic organizations. The report found that between 2017 and 2018, only 6 funded black-serving organizations and just 2 funded black-led organizations out of a pool of $16 billion. I'll even go a little bit further, Kate. According to the research, the top 15 community foundations dispersed a mere 0.07% of funds in the 2017 and 2018 fiscal years to black-led organizations and just 0.7% to black servant organizations. For those of you that don't know, because a lot of people make it seem like, okay, oh, you know, you black people are just crying because you guys can't get the money. Let me back it with some numbers. Currently, Canada is home to an estimated 1.2 million black people, representing some 3.5% of its total population. By 2036, and we've been talking about this since me and Kay touch air, that percentage is expected to grow to nearly 5.6%. We're going to have more black people in the country, Kay. It's going to happen. Despite their contributions to the country's social, cultural, and economic well-being, black Canadians face severe inequity in the form of poor education and health outcomes, economic exclusion, food insecurity, and precarious housing prospects, to name a few. You know, we in bad shape as black people in the country, and you'll think that 1.2 million black people in Canada will mean something to them.
Listen, hopefully something is done to, you know, resolve the situation real quick.
What's happening, because, you know, and of course, because we're in a pandemic, a lot of the funding is kind of tighter now, right? And what's going to happen, some black-led organizations, community organizations, some of them are going to be closed by March, okay? You know what I mean? And these are places for us in our community to get instruction, to get resources, to get aid. A lot of these are going to be closing down. Oh, man. I press on because there's more. It's like a snowball effect when I get back in the building. So let's go to our city, Montreal. Let's go a little bit in depth more specifically. Montreal, the Gazette had a beautiful article saying that Montreal is dragging its feet on systemic racism, minority groups say. So groups representing visible minorities in Montreal say that Valerie Plante's administration is dragging its feet in addressing what is said is to be an urgent issue of systemic racism. So, of course, you have Balarama Holmes leading the group Montreal on Action. And, you know, they're saying, I'll quote him, he says that racism and discrimination, particularly in Montreal, lives and breeds in silence, he added. The mayor can do nothing when it comes to it, to this commissioner, employment, equity, or public security. So, on Tuesday afternoon, after she was supposed to appoint a commissioner, right, since October. So, we only got, shout out to Lorena joining us here. So we only got to answer this in late January. Since October, you're dragging your feet. So already they're receiving, it's not important for you to address the issue of systemic racism because you're taking so long to appoint a commissioner whose main job is to come up with a comprehensive plan to attack racism. So already there you're seeing, like, you guys don't really care about us. So on Tuesday afternoon, the magazine 24 reported that, hopefully I'm not messing up her name, Kay, Butra Manai will be the newly appointed commissioner tasked with crafting a comprehensive anti-racism plan. So for those that don't know, Manai is the director general of anti-poverty group in Montreal North called Parole d'Exclus and has written a book about racism directed at the province's Maghreb community. So now here's the problem now, Kay. Balarama Holness says that Manai is the appointee, but is more sign of anti-blackness. She does identify with the northern part of Africa. So my first question to you is that if someone is born in Africa, does that by default make them black?
No. So if you're born in Africa, you're African for sure. But then being black is another thing.
Okay.
Because in Africa, there's not only black people.
Yeah, because she's from North African descent. So now you as a black woman, shout out to Lorena joining us here as well. Both of you guys, I'm going to pass the question to both of you guys here. You guys as black women, do you guys feel this was a missed opportunity? Because Balarama Holmes, he goes on to say, it's a missed opportunity to have a highly qualified black woman to lead the charge against racism in Montreal. He said, adding that black women are one of the most underrepresented minority groups within the city. Do you guys feel that you guys can identify with Ms. Manai?
Listen, I'm always happy for a woman from a minority to be in a position where she can actually make a difference.
Right.
Now, when it comes to racism in Montreal specifically, we've seen a plethora of incidents regarding the black community, regarding black men or black women, especially with the police. So definitely a black person would have been great. But I think, you know, I think it's a step in the right direction. Now, can I identify with her? I don't know that I can identify with a woman that is not black. But I can, and to a certain extent, I would say. So I think I'll wait and see. I'll wait to see what she does, you know, to actually judge.
let me give you some. I got some scoops. I got some background information. I was told that there were a lot of black professionals that had put up their candidacy to become commissioner, and their interviews were either canceled or pushed back. So you started thinking to yourself, did Valerie Pond already have an idea who she wanted to appoint as commissioner? And of course, too, you must understand that Manai is a part of the Valerie Pond camp as well. So you start thinking to yourself, for anti-racism, why can't we just get a black person to be leading the charge on this? Why is it so hard for them to just, like, why can't we just get proper representation? And this is coming at the behest of, if you guys don't remember, in last June, the Office de Consultation Publique de Montréal, the OCPM, said that the city turned a blind eye to systemic racism and discrimination in police and the city administration. It made 38 recommendations, including boosting the hiring and promotion of minorities, facilitating complaints against police, giving anti-racism training to all civil servants and police, eliminating racial bias in arts and culture, and making city politics more representative of Montreal's demographic reality. And we're still waiting for this to be done. We did the legwork. We created the report, which is something that I felt the mayor's office should have done. And still, months, almost a year and a half now, we still there's no action to go attributed with the plan. Oh man, this is so crazy. And then, you know, we continue with the madness. I don't know if you guys saw the video that went viral. The Montreal police are accused of racial profiling after a video of an incident went viral. I don't know if you guys saw the video with the kid with the red coat.
Definitely.
So one of the officers wasn't wearing a mask. Did you guys notice that off the bat? And we're gonna talk about the curfew. So you guys are the same ones on the streets giving people tickets for curfew. You guys are the same ones that are supposed to. You guys are civil servants, and you guys aren't wearing masks. and the whole vibe of our province is let's bring down the COVID curve. Let's try to get a handle on this. And our own police is not wearing masks, and it's on video. So in a widely shared Instagram video, two Montreal police officers, one without mask on, can be seen detaining a man named Andy Basora while he stood at his doorstep on Sunday, January 17. So the SPVM told MTL Blog that the officers approached Basora because they saw a resemblance. It wasn't even him. They saw a resemblance between his jacket and one report stolen in a robbery that allegedly took place on November 19th. So hold on. So for those that don't know, this is a popular North Face jacket where the top is black and the bottom is red. I think maybe 500,000 people in our city have it. Our good friend of the show, Johnny, he has one too. It's a popular coat. So the coat went stolen December 19th. And you bump into Barsora on Sunday, January 17th. And you say to yourself, hey, you resemble the person that we think took the coat. That's the coat. Man, this city, boy.
I think it's insane that they went of oh wow, you have that coat, then you must be the one, because like you said, it's a very popular coat. Mm-hmm. The North Face coat, yeah. Just to quote the brand, everybody in the city has some kind of North Face item, whether it's a coat or anything else. It's not the kind of item that is that expensive that we're not purchasing them. Yeah. And also, you know, I just want to mention, we live in a country where it is cold, right? So we do put in the price when it comes to buying winter gear. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was very confused by that video. Some of my people in France actually happened to see that video on social media, and they're still baffled at what it is that happened. So, you know.
The incident itself is one thing, but I'm also baffled by the fact at how aggressive the police were about it. You would have think that Basora was like he committed a murder or something. How you come here? And he was on his property. And see how everything has a kind of trickle-down effect. You know, Valerie Pond, you weren't addressing the recommendations that was set forth to you months ago, and still police are not dealing with the public in a respectable way. We're still dealing with the same things. When's the commissioner gonna get to work here? Let's talk about the curfews. I wasn't here for 2 weeks, so I didn't get to see what you and Lorena were talking about with the curfews here. But, boy, they gave out a lot of tickets. Quebec police officers hand out nearly 1,500 tickets for curfew violations in 1 week. I told y'all they're going to get back this CERB money some way, somehow. So nearly 1,500 tickets were given between January 11 and 17. 1,500 tickets in 1 week. Oh, boy. Quebec's Ministry of Public Security announced on Twitter on Monday. So Quebec police forces issued tickets for 1,420 infractions over those 7 days. That's in addition to the 740 tickets handed out over the first 2 days of the curfew. So they're really busy out there. For some reason, guys, in Lévis, Quebec, people are still partying, so they gave out some $1,000 tickets there as well. We're currently in a curfew. We're the only province We're the only province in the country that has a curfew, and the curfew is in effect from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. until February 8th. Now, my question to you guys, Lorena, I'm going to start with you. Do you think it's going to end on February 8th? And how effective do you think that this measure was for us to go into a curfew in terms of curving the COVID curve?
I think that they will probably extend the curfew. Mm-hmm. I don't know how effective it is because I feel a lot of the transmission that we're getting is through traveling, which mm-hmm. people still do. Mm-hmm. And then also kids are passing it as well in schools. So even in the first week, my nephew went back to school. He's in elementary school and somebody had a case of COVID already. So I don't know how effective it is of what they're doing for us as adults, but I don't really see it working that well.
For me, I think, same as Lorena said, I believe that the curfew will be extended. I don't know how effective it is because friends also had a curfew, right, and we don't know how effective that was over there, and they stopped their curfew. So, you know, well, they actually reinstated it now because they have another one, but I don't know how effective it is because also outside of that, the curfew doesn't prevent you from going to see people. And I think that's the one thing, because people are still, you can go see a bunch of friends in one house all together before the curfew at 8 p.m. and just stay together the whole night if you want to. And I think that's also one of the issues, because people are still going to meet up, and not just one-on-one, you live alone, I live alone, let's meet up. It's right. More of a, oh, you know what, let's have a game night on Friday, or things of that nature. So I think, and like Lorena mentioned, I guess I'm still baffled at the number of flights that come back with COVID-19 cases on them, and influencers and a bunch of other people that are just going on vacation. It's not known. From the start of the pandemic, they've mentioned that it needed to be only essential travel. I don't see vacation as essential travel. I want to go on vacation too.
No, everybody, listen, I got some ideas on vacation. We're coming up on that. I just want to say something because it's very important. I love this initiative that the teachers did. So teachers at a Montreal area high school are wearing black to mourn the inevitable deaths caused by back to school. Now, I personally believe that one of the reasons why the transmissions have been getting so much higher lately is because the kids are in school. And even when the kids are in school, they don't really social distance the way we typically do as adults. So as high schools across Quebec return to class, teachers at Westmont High School in the Montreal area showed up to work Monday dressed in all black. According to a statement from a group of teachers, they'll be wearing black to, among other things, to mourn the inevitable deaths that will occur due to the increased transmission caused by school reopening. So as of January 3, the province reported nearly 1,500 active cases across all public and private schools in Quebec, with more than 200 schools affected in Montreal alone. A science teacher said, it's just unbelievable. We should not be sending students to school. And this is a science teacher saying this. Early in an interview with CTV News, Education Minister Jean-François Robert said that the province decided to send children back to school based on evaluation of risk. He goes on to state, we did ask our experts from public health if the risk is higher at school or at home. So they're under the belief, our education minister and our public health experts, that kids are less likely at school to get it than at home. And they're also saying when students are at home, they don't learn as much, of course, and we have other problems such as mental health. Now, I've spoken to a couple of high school kids that have been doing the Zoom classes, and they're like, none of us is listening. No one's concentrating. It must be so hard for teachers to teach and the kids are on the screen. And also, teachers feel like they've been put, their lives are put in danger by having so much kids that bunks around each other and being in the schools. So where do you guys kind of land on that? I think, we got to close the schools. Like, if we're going to do a curfew, we should might as well close the school. Like, I just feel like in Montreal, we keep doing things in Quebec, rather, I should say. We keep doing things in half measures. And this is why we're getting half results. You know what I mean? We're in a curfew, but the kids can still go to school. Like, it's always half and half in the city. Where do you kind of stand on this, Kay? Do you think that we should close schools down? Or we should continue the way we've been going?
The problem that we're having is that I guess the government wanted the kids to go back to school so that the parents could focus and work from home without having to take care of the kids at the same time, and also allow kids to be able to study in person, because having a six-year-old in front of a tablet or a computer all day is something that does not make sense and that they won't be able to do. I think maybe what they should have done is have a thing where there's less kids in classroom and have rotating schedules in which there's days you work from home and then there's days where you have to go to school. I don't know what the best course of action is, but Yeah, I think we need to review the numbers and see what would be the best option.
Listen, man, it's really, really crazy. Now, let's talk about the flights, because I've been seeing a lot of people on Instagram, a lot of people that we know. Everybody seems to be in a sunny place. Now, Lorena, I'd ask Kay at the top of the show, what is the top pandemic destination? So give me, in your opinion, what's the top pandemic destination? Give me your guesstimate.
This is a guess because I don't know the numbers and the flights and all that stuff, but I see a lot of people going to Mexico from both Canada and the U.S., and then a lot of people are going to Jamaica as well. So I would say those two places.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're not really off, so let me go into it. So 1,500 flights and rising as Canadians seek sunny escapes despite surging COVID-19 crisis. So the government advice to avoid non-essential travel lacks clear definition. So that hasn't been a really... You know, we haven't had a travel ban or anything of that nature. So people have still been going away on vacation. So thousands of Canadians are thumbing their noses at government advice to stay home and hope and hopping on international flights to sunny destinations, even as the COVID-19 crisis worsens in many parts of the country. So it's crazy, Lorena, like 1,500 flights and it's going up. Of the 1,500 flights analyzed, some of the most popular routes departing from Canada included 214 flights between Toronto and Montego Bay, Jamaica, and 183 flights between Montreal and Cancun, Mexico. So Jamaica and Mexico are like really on the top here. Now, some government officials are scared to introduce a travel ban because they're saying that there might be a certain level of public backlash, and there also might be a social like a social disobedience to it. Like people might just lose their mind over it, right? Where do you kind of land on it? Do you think that we should have a travel ban? Because the numbers in the country is going up. Just this morning or yesterday, two planes came back from a sunny destination. Everybody got COVID. Do we need a travel ban, Lorena?
I think, yeah, obviously there's going to be backlash, but I feel like they just need to get it done, because if they keep going the other route with banning everything else that's not really affecting us, we're just going to keep going through this over and over and over again. So if they just do the ban one time, shut everything down, they'll see the numbers go down, hopefully, and then we can move on.
Well, yeah, I believe that would be great, because I still don't understand why planes are still flying, unless... Like we said, essential travel. But then what is an essential travel?
Well, see, that's the problem we keep having with the government. Same thing with essential items, right? The government has to put a list. They're not being clear enough. I think they're trying to keep it vague. So if something goes wrong, they could just say, well, we never really clearly stipulated left or right. Now, I'd like to introduce this. First of all, I want to ask you guys, how do you guys feel when you guys see people on Instagram that you guys know in the city and they're in a sunny destination? I'm a little bit peeved of it. I'm an essential worker. I've been dying for vacation for the last 18 months, and I don't think there'll be any vacation for me in sight. I'd like to introduce this idea to you, Kay and Lorena. I think when this pandemic thing is done, I think around the world we should get a month off of vacation. Everyone, you pick wherever you want to go, and the world takes a month to just exhale. You know, I mean, this pandemic's been really tough. Wouldn't you like that, Lorena? 1 month, everybody's on vacation. You can pick wherever you want to go. We don't do nothing. Only thing that's open is the bar people and people that make food, and we rotate that staff, and we just take a month off to just exhale as a people. How do you guys like that idea?
It sounds nice. You might have to just vision it when you're meditating, because I don't.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. I wish, though. I really wish. But, yeah, listen, there's a global pandemic, and they're not really letting us live through it without working. I don't think they're giving us a month off once the world starts, you know, working again. So,
okay. I'm just going to give the city the top, the most popular pandemic getaways. Number of outbound flights on top 10 sunny destinations from October 1st through January 16th. So you have Cancun with 152, Montego Bay with 112, Puerto Vallarta, 83. Is that Dominican Republic? I think so. Punta Cana, you ain't no DR, 77. That's my second trip as soon as we get out of this pandemic. We all go to DR, I'm telling you. Bridgetown on 50 flights, Panama City, 44, Kingston, 34. Liberia, Costa Rica, they were about 26 going out there. Nassau, Bahamas, that 26. And Veradero, you're about 25.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, only tropical and warm places. You know what? I think we also need to... One thing that I wanted to mention is that to all the people that are going on vacation, coming from Canada, the U.S., or other, you know, European countries, for example, and going into these islands and those countries... Mm. The one thing that people do not realize is that by going there, you're also putting the local population at risk of catching COVID-19, yeah, and that you don't know their infrastructures like this. You don't know if their hospitals are not already at capacity, like us in Quebec now, for example. So we do need to be mindful of that as well. It's not just, oh, I want to go on vacation. You have to be mindful of the people, of the population where you're going.
Oh, listen, man. Man, it's wild. I'm jealous of everybody that I know that's on vacation during this pandemic. You guys are horrible people. But talk about people going places. Let me end this on a good note. Kamala Harris is officially vice president and taking a piece of Montreal with her. So Montreal helped ship. I love how Montreal people are at the zip. Anyways, don't hold me to it. Let me just do the article. MTL Blog wrote it. It said that Montreal helped shape the new vice president. As of 12 p.m. on January 20th, 2021, the United States officially has a new president and a vice president, Kamala Harris. She takes office as the first female Black and Asian American vice president in American history. You know, guys, I like to know, in our lifetime, being Black people, we've seen a Black president and we've seen a Black female vice president. Man, yo, the history books, we're living it, boy. It's beautiful. So the former California senator and attorney general spent many of her formative years in the city attending Westmont High School, while her mother, Dr. Shamila Harris, worked at the Jewish General Hospital and McGill University. So, you know, listen, man, we got a piece of Montreal in the White House. Now, is she going to send some invites to the correspondent dinner? And I would think the Morning Detour should get an invite. We're the only Black morning show, as they like to label us, some of our commercial counterparts. Shouldn't we deserve an invitation to the correspondent dinner? We're Black, we're young, we're doing the hard-hitting issues, and we've talked about Kamala Harris on the show. So, homie, would you guys like to go to the correspondent dinner? And how much money would you guys spend on your dress? I'll start with you, Larina, because I know you fancy.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to go.
Yeah.
That would be super dope if we were able to get a chance or opportunity to go there. Mm. I don't know how much I would spend on my dress. I don't know.
Burgundy! But,
I'd have to, you know, look fly, so.
I'm going to add that to my meditation, because just as I'm reading the article, I'm like, you know what? The Morning Detour should get an invite to the correspondent dinner. You know, we've had Dr. Sabrina Jeff Rally on the show. She's representing Westmount as well. Just bring the Morning Detour. Kay, are you looking to go to the correspondent's dinner?
That would be very great. That would be dope, actually. You know, like Larina said, I would need to look fly. But I don't know how much money I would spend on my dress. I might have to pull like a Michelle Obama, have those long flowy pants, you know, because those are bomb. You know, like that one color thing that she looks wonderful. But yeah, I don't know. But I think that would be a great opportunity. If something like this could happen, that would be dope.
Let me tell you, boy, Michelle Obama, boy, she knows how to wear a pantsuit. Let me tell you, boy, she was flowing at that inauguration. And on a sad note, this gentleman has impacted my life. Back when I was in high school, I used to write short stories and share them with Larina and my other friends. And the Black girls came back to me one day. They're like, yo, you remind us of Eric Jerome Dickey. And for me, Eric Jerome Dickey made everything to me growing up in high school, just reading books. Even in my adult years, I've continued to read some of his books. But he passed away last week. Eric Jerome Dickey made Black women feel seen, according to The Atlantic. So the best-selling author who died recently at the age of 59, he was gone way too soon, man. We're losing so much beautiful creators in the Black community, man. Yo, this one really hurt me. He created a world of fiction that understood and celebrated his most loyal readers, which were Black women and Black men alike. So Eric Jerome Dickey's work is a masterclass in Black joy. I want to urge everybody, Black, white, whatever color you identify with, to pick up an Eric Jerome Dickey book, man. It's so deep. You know, me and Larina, you know, I remember in high school, we used to share the books, Milk and My Coffee, Cheaters, you know what I mean? Me and Larina, we go back in it, and it was beautiful to see books that celebrated Black excellence, and he's been doing it way before it became a thing. So he died at the age of 59. I'd like to send our condolences to his family and friends, man, because Eric Jerome Dickey, man, it hurts because I'm thinking to myself, we'll never get, you know, of course there's other authors, but he was such a pioneer in Black literature. And we really lost somebody good, man. The Atlantic goes on to say that Dickey will go on to become a prolific multi-genre author, writing a comic book miniseries for Marvel and selling more than 7 million copies of fiction that included romance, erotica, and suspense. In all, he published 29 books. His 30th, The Son of Mr. Solomon, will be released in April, and I will definitely be getting that book. So, yeah, man, we lost a legend right there, Eric Jerome Dickey. So that was my tour de force. A lot of things going on. I want y'all to remember it is a election year in November. So make sure you make your, you know, value planted them. They got to work for these votes. It's the Morning Detour. We got more music. Keep it locked.
The Morning Detour on
on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I ain't trying to hurt you. I need you to read between the lines. Calling me out and it's unfair. Told you I don't wanna go there. Swear that I can taste it. All your expectations rising up, but push them to the side. You know I'm down to go anywhere. But told you I don't wanna go there. I think you feel good, yeah, I think you're so sweet.
Yeah, baby, put your hand in my pocket.
I ain't got time to be lying out of no doorway. Shot the switch, try and drown me, I might float away. Can you please tell me I'm in control today? Trigger for the day, icy like the Eiffel Tower, babe. Yeah, why you wanna talk about it all the time? Keep it up over there, you gon' be mine. I see the way you vibe it, keep me hypnotized it. Diamonds lie like sirens.
I don't wanna talk about love.
Time. I just don't have none. We can get to the point. Skip all the small talk. Jump with the long talks. Send you on a long walk. I got a lot on my mind. Things that I'm going through. Don't wanna talk to you. Way too involved with you. To send you the voicemail. I had the boss on you. Who is you talking to? Phone cut off on you.
No long talk. Everything is my fault.
I should be more kind to my liver. Acropelia with three side pieces. This us. Around this time, it start to look like Carabana. When I'm around, she want me to bust down on the kid done. Message unread. Was kinda lengthy. Never pay for quickly, but I cop a couple fish fries. Pills in a Ziploc. You should come and get me. Your favorite thing to send her.
His favorite thing to send her. He put you up on game like a mentor. He never get you. You call and he just said no.
My pockets on big boy. My drop was color seafoam.
You thought that Puka was all you good for. I'm here to show you you more.
Yes, that's what I'm here for.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Good morning, Montreal. Soul K here on a morning detour on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm here with Wheezy Munchaser, and it's now time to talk about what's happening in the entertainment news.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a lot, the versus battle, Keisha Cole versus Ashanti. You know what? People actually were not here for the third, for it being rescheduled for a third time. Actually, people took it to Twitter and were mentioning how they were not going to watch the battle, how things were not going to happen for them because they took too long and they kind of over the whole versus situation. I want your opinion on this.
No, but I must be out of the loop. I thought it happened. Why was it rescheduled so many times?
It was rescheduled many times because of coronavirus, because of the coronavirus situations.
What's wrong with people? I think people forget, and which is kind of a good and a bad thing too, that the Versus created like this safe utopia that you could kind of escape to and trying to like leave your problems away. But I think people forget we're in a global pandemic. People are dying. If we got to reschedule for health reasons, let's work with them a little bit. I still want to see it. And even though, you know, there's a growing sense that some people are like, okay, you know, it's a fleeting moment. The vibe is past. I think they're liars. I think if they actually do it and it happens, those same people will go back on the live and tune in to the beautiful Versus that's going to be.
Listen, I'm just saying, I think it's true that they should have probably scheduled something else in between and then do this one, you know, just for promo sake. But, you know.
Well, you can always mention Timbo. You on Clubhouse. I'm sure you'll be in the rooms with Timbo and them and Swizzy and them. You be in the Clubhouse. Let them know what's up. That's a great idea, though, okay? For real.
Yo, listen. On some other news, you know, Lil Kim recently released her anticipated album 9, you know, a project that came actually 14 years after her last album, which 14 years is a long time. I think the only other person that I remember that did that was probably D'Angelo that took forever to come back with an album. Mm-hmm. But pretty much, you know, she's been doing a lot of interviews, sharing the significance of the number 9 in her life. The album features only 9 songs. And, you know, there was a lot of fans that hyped the records, but the sales apparently were not up to par with the hype that was going around this. So she actually, she was in the Fishing for Answers series on Billboard, and on which you have to, like, you know, put, I guess, get questions out of a fishbowl and you have to answer whatever is presented.
Right.
So, you know, she was asked to name her favorite female rappers currently on the scene. So, you know, she mentioned Cardi B, she mentioned City Girls, Megan Thee Stallion. She mentioned other people as well. And then another topic that came up is that there may be a Lil Kim biopic coming into theaters in the future.
Whoa.
And so she said that when that process begins, she will be returning to her hometown in Brooklyn to hold auditions to find the perfect person. She did mention that if it is Teyana Taylor or Lil Mama, whoever it is going to be perfect. So now, Wheezy, I want your opinion. Do you think Teyana Taylor or Lil Mama... Actually, between the two, who do you think would be the best at playing Lil Kim in
the
battle?
Oh, man.
Lil Kim did mention she loves Teyana Taylor.
Okay, now this is the issue I have with the biopics. Typically, when people choose someone to cast and be them, they want to kind of have a certain semblance, kind of look like them a little bit. I think Teyana Taylor is too far off away from Lil Kim, no? Even Lil Mama, I think, is a little bit too far off. They need to find, you know, they need to get Lumi D or one of them chicks. They need to get Lumi D or Keisha Shante or one of the light skin girls from 3LW. Get one of them chicks to do it. But I'm very curious to see in the Lil Kim biopic how deep is she going to go? Because, you know, with a biography and with biopics, you always ask yourself, how honest is the person that's being depicted? Are they going to be? Is she going to, what I'm really trying to get to, is she really going to go in depth into her relationship with Biggie? Is she going to show her side of the story?
Think, I think people would want to see that because we saw the Biggie's biopic in Notorious. I feel like in Notorious, we see his side. Yeah. So I think people would be interested to see what happened on her side. That would be, I think that would be nice. You know?
Yeah. I would definitely like to see the Lil' Kim side of the story, her interaction with Faye, and also, too, her taking the bid and going to jail for a year. You know what I'm saying? Boy, the Lil' Kim story is going to be so deep. And also, too, Lil' Kim has a deep relationship with the Gottis as well. I like to see them show how that came about as well.
Listen, I would be, if that movie drops, I'm interested. I just need to know who is going to play her. I love Tina Taylor as an actress. I love her. I also love her as a singer. I think she's underrated. Actually, she's not being recognized enough.
No, I agree.
Like you said, I feel like maybe because they don't look like, it's not the same realm at all, but I am glad that Lil' Kim is recognizing her talent though. I think that's very good. That's deep.
Tiana Taylor is dope, man. You know, it's just a shame that she can't just break through that ceiling. Because she's a dope, just everything. Singer,
fashion,
dancer. She's a powerhouse.
Everything. Yeah. She's also a director. She directs videos. So, you know, yeah.
Black queen doing her thing, man. Shout out to Tiana Taylor.
She definitely does a lot of things. You know, some other updates. Drake's Certified Lover Boy release date was pushed back. So, you know, the rapper's sixth studio album, Certified Lover Boy, was announced last summer with a fall update revealing that it will be set to drop in January. So, you know, there's been a lot of rumors around the release date. Songs from the projects have been leaking, but Drake has been relatively quiet in the past few days over all the chatter that's been going on around the internet. Unfortunately, it seems that, the album won't be coming out this month. The rapper hit Instagram with a message to his fans, breaking the bad news that its release has been pushed back because between surgery and rehab, his energy has been dedicated to recovery. So, he's back on his feet and he's feeling great and focused. So it won't be dropping in January, but it will be shared somewhere in 2021. So there's actually no timeline that was given.
Oh, come on, Drake.
Timeline was given. So people don't know when we should be expecting this album. So, you know, do you feel like we need to have it sooner than later? Would you wait a bit more?
Piggybacking the conversation you had with Doc last week about Jay-Z and Drake and who's the king of rap, I think this might be, and people, you know, music savants, don't hold me to it, I think this might be the longest period Drake has gone between albums. So I like to see how his bounce back is, right? I like to see how does he reestablish his presence in this hip-hop realm. I haven't heard Kendrick in a minute. We got a little bit of Cole not too long ago, but I like to see Drake reassert himself because I've been hearing a lot of Tory. The back end of 2020, there's a lot of Tory. So all them singer-rapper guys, I want to hear Drake. I need Certified Lover, and I hate not knowing when it's coming. I need some OVO, okay? I need some OVO in my body. Because, you know, Drake, you know, you guys know how I feel. I got Drake. Drake always knows. I be going through some things. I think Drake can really open me up and speak on it for me musically.
I think, you mentioned Kendrick. Not having dropped in a while. Actually, Kendrick, if you go to Kendrick's Instagram account right now, there's only two pictures. It's two pictures from a collective of artists and creators. If you go to the website, it's pretty much, you know, those artsy vibes for a website. There's like three things you can click on and it's just videos.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. I don't know what exactly he's planning, but it looks like it's a bunch of artists that are catering to different brands and things of that nature. So it looks like Kendrick is still doing things, but we might not be seeing him in front of the scene. I think he's doing certain things in the back end. I do hope that he comes back and drops a project because that would be amazing. But, you know, that's another conversation. One thing we need to talk about, though, because, you know, it was Inauguration Day in the United States this week.
Yeah.
We had Inauguration Day. Like you said, Kamala Harris is officially the first woman vice president of the United States, the first minority vice president of the United States. I think it's important that we repeat that. But one of the things that actually had people literally crying of laughter was the Bernie Sanders meme that has been going around the internet for a while. So pretty much social media users, have been taking a photo of Senator Bernie Sanders that was warding off the cold on Wednesday. He was wearing a remarkably practical winter coat. He had mittens on and a mask, you know. Actually, pretty much he was just watching the race. And he was...
But yo, Kay, you sent me some here. Yo, Bernie dressed like the inauguration is on his to-do list today, but in his whole day.
It is so funny. So pretty much, we'll be posting those on our social media because these have been really funny. Because he's sitting by himself in the cold, and so users have turned him into a meme, and these memes are hilarious. Some articles online actually mentioned that the image at strong grandpa waiting for the Santa Claus parade during COVID-19. It was very fun, very interesting. So you guys definitely go ahead and check out those memes that we'll be posting on our social media. Another meme that have been going around the internet is the fact that there's a rumor that says that former President Trump has left a letter to Joe Biden in the office.
The petty one.
Exactly. So the internet was speculating as to what this letter would be. That led to the creation of a bunch of memes as well that
Send
are
me
very
that too.
Funny. A lot of things from SpongeBob SquarePants were used. So, you know, guys, I love the creativity of people on the internet. I love social media for that. I think you guys continue because you guys are fast. Nope. And, we post all of that on our social media. That's going to be beautiful.
But hold up, Kay. We got to talk about the level of petty that Trump is exhibiting right now. Were you expecting him to leave a letter? Like, typically, once one president leaves, the other leaves. You would think that there's a conversation, there's a transition period. Hey, you know what, Obama, look out for this, look out for that. You know what I'm saying? Them kind of vibes, right? What did you think he put in the letter?
I have no idea because I feel like Trump is very unpredictable. We've seen that. He's very unpredictable as a person. So,
he's probably like, please invite me still to the correspondent dinner.
I'll be watching you. Maybe type of letter, but I know that usually the former first lady is supposed to give a tour to the new first lady, a tour to the White House, and that Melania Trump will not be doing that, which is breaking a tradition that has been going around the United States for quite some time.
Have you heard her talk the whole presidency of Trump? I've heard her talk maybe twice. She's been the most mute first lady ever, right?
Yeah, I think I haven't heard from her dad.
I didn't see the public or like the nation in America really connect with
her.
First lady. And it's the first time I haven't noticed that before. First ladies have always really engaged themselves with the population of America. She seemed very withdrawn, but their whole relationship is funny. Like all the videos of her just passing them by as they go on the plane, Kay.
Yeah, she doesn't look that comfortable in my opinion, but I will not be commenting on
No,
that
but she has like a K-face. She has like a K-face, like, I have no time for you. I am just here because I'm here.
It's like, I'm here because I have to, but I really don't want to be here, but the last piece of news that I have actually still related to Trump.
Right.
Former President Donald Trump actually published a list of 140 people who were pardoned or had their sentences commuted by himself in a last minute clemency flurry early Wednesday. But the news was not as good as for one hopeful celebrity. And you'll be laugh when you hear which celebrity it is. So, rapper Lil Wayne, whose real name is Dwayne Michael. That's not why you will laugh. That's not even why you would laugh. So, rapper Lil Wayne, whose real name is Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., was given a full pardon